You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Most of us try to avoid tourist traps when we're traveling, but few make it as far off the beaten path as people like Moses Gates. They engage in urban exploration, which has become an increasingly popular pastime as adrenaline junkies around the world have turned to cities in pursuit of adventure. Mr. Gates' explorations of the underground world of several major cities have been featured on the History Channel, the Travel Channel, and now he's written a memoir called Hidden Cities. It's published by Tarcher. I'm very pleased that Moses Gates has ventured to the wilds of Manhattan's downtown West Side to appear on our show. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So what is urban exploration? Is this actually something that is recognized as a real activity?
So urban exploration is just another part of being an urbanist, of being somebody who likes cities, who likes seeing cities, who likes exploring cities. And I think that's most people. And I think that it's most travelers also. It just is pursuing the things you find interesting about them.
Well, sometimes when you're traveling to a strange city, you find yourself in an area where you say, uh-oh, I don't think I should be here. But it sounds to me like those are the areas you want to be in.
So it's interesting because what we're scared of when going to cities is often very much in our own heads. And you have to push your comfort zone a little bit while traveling if you want to have any fun. So that fear of the unknown is something that I kind of embrace.
Is there a culture to this? Do the explorers know each other? Do people suggest places that fellow explorers might want to check out?
So I would call it more of a network than a culture. It's like anything where people have similar interests. Some people talk to each other. Some people get along. Other people don't get along. Some folks talk to each other. Other folks talk to other people. So a culture, I wouldn't say, because this draws from a very broad spectrum of society. I was a little while ago out with my friend Nell, who is a 50-something-year-old flamenco dancer from Montreal and, you know, not like the kind of people you might think of when you think of urban explorers. So I want to make that, you know, I want to make that point that it's a very broad spectrum.
Well, you're an urban planner, so
yep.
It seems to me that would be a reason that you would want to get into this.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, it's a very much a kind of professional curiosity. People want to have an up-close and personal interaction with what they're curious about and what their passion is. So if you're a doctor, you don't want to sit in a classroom reading textbooks. You want to go in the operating room. You want to see how it works. And the same is true urban planners.
Are there certain cities that lend themselves to this more than others?
I don't think so, actually.
I mean, every city is interesting?
Every city is interesting. I mean, that's a broad point. And every city has stuff to see. Cities have different cultures, I would say that. Like in Paris, people are generally it's kind of part of the city infrastructure, going in the catacombs, having parties in there. It's something that is fairly well known about and kind of part of the city, like it isn't in some other cities. But, yeah. Everywhere is interesting, and that's kind of the point of urban exploration, is to find those things.
Well, in the case of Paris, could I just go down and go into the catacombs? Do I have to get permission?
Well, I'll take you.
You just know which manhole cover to open?
Permission from who? You know, you can give yourself permission to go where you like. So the catacombs are the kind of thing that are not going in the legal tour of the catacombs is great. It'll cost you €8. It's about a mile, and it's really cool.
Any tourist can go down.
Any tourist can go if you want to wait online and pay your €8. The other 170 miles of the network, you got to get to through some more creative means.
So yes. What are you missing if you obey the rules and stay behind the ropes?
You're missing what you want to miss. I mean, it's the kind of thing where people ask me this, like, well, what are you missing? What's the appeal? Why do you want to go to that place? And my appeal is just a personal one. I think it's interesting. I like it. But that's not the point. The point is that there's the demand. Anytime you have these off-limits places and you open them up to the public, people go. The Atlantic Avenue tunnel, which there's a tunnel that runs underneath Atlantic Avenue in New York City, they used to do tours there. It was hugely popular. When they opened up the Rockefeller Center Observation Deck, which is a beautiful abandoned observation deck, hugely popular. The City Hall station underneath underneath Manhattan. The Transit Museum does tours, hugely popular. So the fact that the appeal is there is kind of undeniable, but what it is different for everybody.
And you've tried to go to all of those places, but you don't seem to go on the tours.
Actually, those three places that I just mentioned, I did buy tours. I am a very kind of goal-oriented person, and if I can get there the official way, I'll take the official way. It's not a big deal for me.
The picture on the back of the book of you standing on one of the eagles of the Chrysler Building, I can't imagine there's a tour that allows you to do that.
No, but it's just an empty office building or an empty office floor. I mean, there's no real... I didn't fly up there, for instance. You know, there's no real secret to it. It's just a lot of times, especially in our pre-war towers, we have about a dozen abandoned observation decks in our pre-war towers, and most of them are just empty offices that are sitting empty and, you know, are kind of there for the curious few.
Well, New York is a fairly new city compared to the ones in Europe and in Asia. So would there be a different kind of a hidden city here than there would be in some of the older places?
Yeah, absolutely. So here we're excited if we can get to somewhere that's been abandoned for 80 years or something like that. I'm thinking of places like the parts of the Second Avenue subway or the second system of the subway that were built and never used in the 1920s and 30s.
And why wouldn't they use them now that they're working on a Second Avenue subway?
Well, it's interesting. They actually are using a couple of the segments. There were two segments dug in East Harlem that they're going to be putting in use as part of the new Second Avenue subway, which is, you know, a cool thing, I think. But
if it ever gets completed.
Well, you know, I it'll get done. I don't want to talk bad about the MTA. I think they're doing a pretty good job on their capital infrastructure program. But it's different than going to Rome, where, you know, we were in Rome and we were just poking around a sewer, a 19th century built sewer, and there was a hole in the wall, and we went in the hole in the wall and down a tunnel, and we went back 2,000 years in time. There was an old ancient Roman underground building that was, the archaeologists who we talked to later said it was probably a tannery. But yeah, it's very different. It's a whole other history in places like Europe and North Africa.
Or Mexico City, where when they build the subway, they keep on finding temples that are underground, and they have to build the subway around them.
Yeah, they had to do that. We saw that in action in Naples, actually, where they were building a new subway, and it was, you know, combination subway archaeological dig that ended up happening.
Now, some people might think all of Naples is kind of an adventure.
Naples is the greatest city, man. I have to say, for anybody who's going to Italy, you know, I talk to people that are going to Italy. I say, where are you going? They're like, oh, we're going to Rome, Florence, and Milan. And I just want to smack them and tell them, take the train an hour and a half from Rome to Naples, which is the most incredible town. I can't say enough good things about the town. And you can get the best pizza you've ever had in your life for $4, except for Titano's in Coney Island.
Hmm. So what do you find in Naples? Do you go underground there as well?
Yeah, so Naples has an incredible underground. It has two separate abandoned aqueduct systems, one from ancient Roman times and one actually from ancient Greek times, that are thousands of years old. And it really is like playing Indiana Jones when you're underneath the city. It's something special.
Are you ever under threat of arrest when you do these things?
So in Naples, actually, they have an underground society that the city is pretty free rein to, and they have a bunch of tours, actually, in Naples, which is another reason to go. Naples is a city that doesn't have a lot of tourism compared to, say, Rome or Paris or places like that. So as a result, they're a lot more open about their city, and it's a lot easier to kind of see stuff officially. In Rome, where you have mass tourism, it's a different scenario. It's a lot harder to just kind of poke around and see what you want to see.
Although in the north of Rome, you have the catacombs and you have ancient ruins that are very different from Rome proper.
Yeah.
Would you consider that part of Rome?
Sure. I would say so. And the Vatican actually is pretty good about doing tours of this. There's a tour underneath St. Peter's, and the old catacombs underneath St. Peter's is just incredible.
Now, you also did this in Moscow. I'd be a little afraid of doing anything in Moscow.
I was very afraid. Moscow was the stickiest situation I've been in. It was absolutely terrifying. We were, so to give you a little bit of background, Moscow was founded at the intersection of two rivers, like a lot of cities are, the Moscow River and the Neglinka River. The Moscow River is still there. The Neglinka River was put underground. Where the two rivers intersect is the Kremlin and Red Square. So we were, you know, we were out, and, you know, this story's in the book. You can check out the long version there. But the short version is we kind of popped open a manhole and went into this underground river that's now part of the storm drain system, walked basically right under Red Square. We, instead of walking back out to where, to kind of a nondescript neighborhood, we thought we had to get out quickly and popped a manhole. If you know Moscow, right by the Bolshoi Theater, which is like right across the street from Red Square. So before we went, our host was like, oh, no, this is fine. The only place they care about this is where the special government police are around the Kremlin. So,
and of course,
yeah,
that's where,
so, that's where
out.
So we popped out. You know, nobody's around. We're getting all happy with ourselves. We sit down by this huge statue of Karl Marx that's there, and got, you know, wearing waders and wet, and obviously something's up, and got rolled up on by three Russian government police with machine guns. And it was the most frightening moment of my life.
Now, other than just being able to walk under a city, do you find things there? Is there art down there?
Oh, there's a ton of stuff down there. So one of the my favorite memories and my favorite experiences is being in the Paris catacombs and coming across a mural design that I had come across in an abandoned building in São Paulo. And it was just – it was incredible. It's like who else has seen this? Who else knows that this guy is out there doing this? So the things you come across underground are just amazing. People will, in the catacombs, walk for an hour through an abandoned quarry tunnel carrying all of their art supply to paint in a place with 99% humidity and no natural light and rough limestone walls and make these incredible works of art. It's amazing.
It's kind of like what the kids do in the subways when they're doing graffiti.
So I am not an artistic person, and I'm not an art critic, and I kind of love everything I run into. I would say, like, there's a lot of people who paint stuff in out-of-the-way places.
Now, we don't have much time, but you also have explored London. You mentioned São Paulo, Stockholm, Kyiv, Tunis, all very different?
All very different. All have their own character. All take a while to get to know. Yeah.
And if you could go back to one, which one would you do tomorrow?
Oh, man, don't ask me this question because I have 20 answers. I will always go back to Paris. There's always more stuff to see in Paris.
And the food is good.
Food's not bad, yeah.
Moses Gates, his book, Hidden Cities, travels to the secret corners of the world's great metropolises. It is published by Tarcher Penguin and has pictures as well. Lots of interesting pictures. So you go down there with a camera to kind of document your experience?
So I am not a photographer, and, you know, when I do take pictures, they're not professional quality. So a bunch of the pictures, a lot of other urban explorers are really generous about, and you should check them out and check out their websites. They'll be in the book if you want some really great photography of some really beautiful unknown places.
Thanks for being on our show.
All right. Thanks for having me on.